you were in the business meeting last night on their introduction. It's Miroslav Vanek from the Czech Republic. And those of you who weren't in the business meeting may not know that Prague is going to be the destination for our next conference in 2 years' time. And Mirek and his team gave a fantastic presentation last night to us in the business meeting. So we're looking very much forward to that meeting. And I think it's apt, therefore, that Mirek's presentation now is really an overview of oral history in the Czech Republic and its development. So, thanks very much.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, friends. I would like to say a couple of words about moral development of oral history in the Czech Republic, where it's reflected the method and theory too, but I think that it will be our own way, which is now 16-17 years old. Last year, 2007, children born in 1989, the crucial year for us in Czech Republic, celebrated their 18th birthday. It is important point in their lives when they are better people with all the civic rights, duties, and responsibilities. Maybe I have one technical point. My son was born in 1989, and I'm a little bit stressed about his responsibility now. But when I completed the present state level of Czech oral history, I had to ask myself a question whether the Czech oral history can be seen as a mature approach in current Czech historiography. And I hope that its result gave us to the present a more positive answer to this question. Immediately after the fall of communist regime in Czechoslovakia in November 1989, so known like the Velvet Revolution, new possibilities, ways, and chances opened for a development in humanities and its research methods, especially in historiography. And that time, we had only vague ideas about oral history, its theory and practice in the West. Up to the 1989, we had only the minimal access to Western literature in this field and almost none our own experience. Only in the 60s, there was an indecisive attempt among Czech historians to try using individual memories as a supportive historical source. There were several informal discussions organized with groups of pre-war communists and Czech partisans from World War II. Yet witnesses of these events were asked direct questions about their memories and expect to give presupposed ideologically correct answers. Moreover, these interviews were only partly recorded, partly stenographed, and partly transcribed from notes made by ideologically but not historically educated interviewers. For the next two decades, I mean 70s and 80s, we were without any trying in oral history, very results. The trying was stopped. Therefore, only after 1989, a small group of Czech historians felt, due to the newborn freedom, a chance to start the research of not only new and up to the 89 forbidden topics and camps in our contemporary history, but also of a new ways and methods of research itself. A paradoxical point lies in the fact that from the very beginning, our group was being discouraged by their colleagues, by the majority of the Czech historians, not only of age, but also of their ways of thinking. And I will undertake this second position. circles or those who returned from the exile may have been more informed about the new research methods in the West, including oral history, but they were far from being familiar with our society, with its problems and current demands. Almost all these historians educated, moreover, only, and then I'm taken again, in the Marxist-Lenin view of history in their youth, expressed their doubts and skepticism about reality and validity of history, even if some of these historians were aware of the fact that much of official archive material was hidden, absent, or quite subsidiary to the communist regime. In spite of these difficulties and obstacles, our group working at the Institute of Contemporary History in Prague did their best to get informed about oral history and its use in the US, Western European countries. Here I would like to express and thank all the American universities which helped us on our beginning. I see Dan Ritchie, there are others. I would like to thank the British library, which got the first book. It's so good for us. This literature helped us with the, supported our trials with the experience. In the second half of the 90s, our group was ready to elaborate the first project based on oral history. A project of narratives of 100 university students who in the crucial November days of 1989 represent a motor engineer, if not a leading force of the revolution. From the methodological point of view, it was a good and a lucky choice because our sample of narrators interviewed students represent a homogeneous group connected by age, education, and life experience. As a result of 3 years project we published under the title 100 Students' Revolution, not only the transcribed edited interviews, but also our first steps in analysis and interpretation, which we like the most important part of our work. Thanks to this work, or our small but growing part, established an oral history center in 2000, meaning it was the first book I set, and the center as a part of the Institute for Contemporary History, and 2 years later the center became a member of the International Oral History Association. It was 2002. After the first success with the first oral history project in our land, we continued with our trial. In 2004, we collected 130 interviews from two adverse falls. About half and interviews were led with communist functionaries from all the levels of the past 2 decades, and the second half with the Czech dissidents, a member of various and their time illegal, civic, peace, religious, and environmental initiatives, groups, and movements. We collected more than 400 hours of recording material and finally published another two books. The first one, The Victors, the Vanquished, was with the questionnaire map and miscellany of interpretation, power and powerless against the questionnaire map. Of tens of researchers was dealing with our society in the period of the 70s and 80s, which we call the normalization era. In the same time, we published first methodological book on oral history, and then the next 3 years, other theoretical books and articles. All of these works show not only a development of oral history from fieldwork up to analysis and interpretations, but also a progress in the theoretical and methodological field. This can be demonstrated best by interviews with the former communist functionaries of various levels, from the district and regional communists of Communist Party in Czechoslovakia collaborators that we should do our best to ensure that their openness and sincerity would not be misused. This project was alone, only one among the other countries of the former Socialist Bloc, if I know. We were well advised from the Western literature, for example, Alexander von Plato, I think Alexander Portelli, that the most successful and valuable interviews arose when an interviewer provoked the narrator to a confrontation of opinions and standpoints. Even if we accepted it theoretically, we had to resign of doing it when speaking both with the functionaries and with former dissidents. People accustomed for all their lives to subdue to authorities, to censorship and out of censorship, to fear, generally speaking, were not ready for the kind of confrontation still in interviews. So when working at this project, we gradually realized that not all the ways of the Western theory could be directly applied in the Czech projects, or maybe the former communist project. Even earlier, when we discussed questions and problems of the oral history at the OHA conference in Dublin 2000, we saw that there would be certain distinction between the Western and our own ways. When present plans of the American and Western European oral history, we are focused on the social, ethnical, and other minorities and positive social groups or groups on the edge of society. Our interdisciplinary and the most pressing task was to open